He's dead. He's not a national treasure anymore. That treasure's buried.
That's the thing. 11 Jews scream louder than 3,000 normal people.
No budget.
I get my piss up in a second, dude. Cinema Apocalypse Now, the show where we talk about movies with your host, Scott Lizard Abrams.
Gabby good to his mother, Tashada.
Big Daddy Don Bodine.
And Marshall's dead again.
Yeah.
He haunted us quite a bit after that last episode, though.
Honked at you.
He haunted us, I said.
I thought you said honked at, too.
Yeah. Really? Well, honk a horn loudly.
I thought there was some new expression I wasn't privy to.
Yeah, some new online lingo the kids are using.
Yeah. That's what the kids are calling it nowadays.
Yeah, he was here after we resurrected him by saying his name three times, like the Candyman.
Then he beat everybody at poker and peaced out.
Kind of. Well, first he was...
What's he going to do with all that money in the afterlife?
I know, right? Well...
Did you guys play for money?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. How did he fucking win? That's what I want to know.
Well, he had a certain technique that worked out for him, and then once he had a lot of chips, he like...
That's what happens. Yeah, yeah.
You can take chances and scare people off once you have half the fucking chips.
Yeah, he was basically like playing retardedly is the best way to say.
But it just worked out for him.
Yeah, because like we kept going like, he can't be that stupid to be bluffing on that. And then like, he was, and then he took all our fucking not all of it, but. Like, yeah, and like it got Mike mad and he got aggro and fucking went at him and just lost. It was quite an episode.
There's a lot of dumb luck with an emphasis on dumb.
Yeah.
That was his whole game plan to get Mike.
But anyway, yeah, it was a great party. You could hear a little
bit
of
been there, but yeah, you weren't. So
but you
weren't.
You didn't send me an email. Actually, I didn't check. I gotta be honest, I didn't check your email.
Oh shit!
40 people.
they were trying to make it.
They're like, what the fuck?
We don't have the address. How are we still go there?
It was a rainy day today. Now it's officially after. No, I have a bit to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really rainy this morning, and I just gotta make this observation: fucking people with umbrellas. It's like they think their umbrella can just go wherever and they're absolved of it because it's not their body. Like, have you ever heard of a personal bubble?
Sure.
It's like apparently people think, oh, I'm holding this fucking stupid gay thing because I'm too much of a faggot to get wet. Honestly, just get wet. It's not that far of a walk.
What happened to you that you're bringing up umbrellas?
Because it kind of sounds like you're just trying out stand-up material.
I know. I'm never going to take this on stage. I'm just seriously, this annoyed the shit out of me. I was literally thinking about it. It was so... No, I like got a bunch of fucking umbrellas in the face this morning is what the story is, the long and short of it. And it's fucking rude. It was not even raining that bad today. It was like normal downpour. And like I have my hood up and I'm wearing a hat. And it's fine. Like, I don't even give a shit about getting wet because I'm a fucking man. And I'm not going to melt like a fucking witch. And people just have their fucking umbrellas open. And it's like women who are like, you know, a foot and like half a foot shorter than me. It's my eye level that their fucking umbrella's at. And it's like comes pretty close to my fucking eyeballs. And I want to just snatch it out of their fucking head, out of their hands and be like, watch it, you stupid fucking bitch.
Can you imagine?
Again.
Him pulling the umbrella out of their hands.
Rape! I don't even think. They'd just be like, well, I never.
No. It would be rape.
Yeah. Okay, fine. No, honestly, dude, do you really use an umbrella if you're just walking for 10 minutes? Come on.
No.
Are you gonna melt? No.
I have my own umbrella story. I had to go get one from the car because...
Why?
Julie was like, do you have an umbrella? And I was like, yeah, I think I have one in the car. And she's like, can you go get it? And I was like, ah, because she like did her fucking hair up or whatever for, she was the Goblin King.
Dress up children holidays. Yeah, it's going up one in one ear and out the other, buddy.
Well, so I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to go get the umbrella. I went outside, stepped in a puddle, like past my ankle. And then my foot was wet the rest of the night just because she couldn't get a couple of droplets of water on her hair.
Yeah.
She's probably going to listen to this too. I hope she does.
Well, I hope you both felt really cool being dressed up as characters on a night that isn't even really the holiday. And to show off to other people who have no children and are celebrating a children's holiday.
That's what we were doing.
It was fun.
No, it was what you were doing.
I wasn't dressed up as a character. I was dressed up as Bob Ross.
Who is nothing if not a character.
Yes. My rest my case.
He's a national treasure, all right?
He's dead. He's not a national treasure anymore. That treasure is buried.
As it should be.
All right, pretty good.
Oh, shit. Anyway, yeah, Jews are on the fucking top of the hunt list right now. 11.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you'll be hearing it for the next 70 years about how awful it was.
They interviewed some guy. Actually, I'm pretty sure it wasn't even at, like, the synagogue.
Oh, that sounds likely,
Pennsylvania. I'm pretty sure it was a synagogue in, like, local. When they were having a special service for the victims, and Charlie Baker was there being gay, of course. And they talked to this Jew, and he was like, This is another Shoah. This is 9/11 for Jews.
11 of us were killed. Yeah. 11, because zero, it made up for the lack of Jews who died on 9/11. Because we all got a memo not to come into work that day.
It's terrible. That's what they called it. 9/11 for Jews.
That's pretty comparable. 11 to how many?
3,000. Yeah, a little more than 3,000.
It's close. It's close.
I know, and they escaped that first one. That's
the thing. 11 Jews scream louder than 3,000 normal people.
And not to belittle the victims either, but the youngest person that died was like 54. It was like an age range from 54 being the youngest, and I think it shoots up to like 70-something.
So nothing of value.
And then it was like, literally the oldest person killed was like 97. So it was like, you had 1 foot on a banana peel
already.
They
were all getting their discounted Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. A 90-year-old Gentile, Jew, black, Muslim, gay, Christian, Icelandic, all of them worthless. No matter what. If you're 95 years old, you should be dead already. And that's that.
Yeah, I can't really argue that.
Yeah, I know. They're all fucking just...
They're leeches.
They're leeches. Yeah. I fucking want cancer.
I came across a pretty interesting article the other day.
What of?
Do tell.
Apparently, there's these people in the UK that are making whiskey using the piss or urine of diabetic elderly people.
Really?
So when I get older, I got a job.
AKA Pisky. I was going to say, you're in the wrong business right now.
I guess
you got to start collecting that
piss. I got to wait till I get... I thought you said elderly.
Yeah, but I think that's because that's who else is going to be like, here, have my piss.
Oh, I see.
I get my piss up in a second, dude.
But you have to have diabetic piss because it has to have enough sugar in it.
Oh, yeah. I have something to talk about. My dad took me out to dinner last night. This is a little bit of a food break, but it'll end in something good. Yeah, so I went to this pretty good restaurant called Miller's Roast Beef. And no, Leo is not
I was going to say, is it owned by the Millers?
They all the waiters roll up to you in razor scooters inside. No, there's no waiters there. It's like kind of like D'Angelo's, but it's like all... remember Mermax? It was a little bit the inside stone baseball.
I never went there, but I know.
I always got ice cream there. I never got the roast beef.
The roast beef there is fucking sick.
Well,
but anyway, yeah, you know. So basically, it's the same kind of business model. They have like roast beef sandwiches, and they put like mayo and barbecue sauce on them. And
barbecue sauce and mayonnaise.
Barbecue sauce and mayonnaise. You wish. Yeah, like horseradish mayo and shit. But the thing that I wanted to bring up, it was really good. I just recommended it. It's in South Attleboro, Massachusetts. Yep. But here's the thing. I figured out what I want to do in my life. What's that?
Kill yourself?
Well, yeah.
We've been over this.
Primarily that. But I mean, if I had to not do that.
All right.
They had, next to the place where they had the takeout menus, there was a thing that said, open your own franchise of Miller's Roast Beef. So what I'm asking you, listeners,
you can still make sandwiches and kill yourself.
Yeah, well, we make the sandwiches first, then kill myself.
The ultimate.
No, but what I'm asking you, the listeners of this podcast, you need to raise us $100,000, and we're going to open up our own Miller's Roast Beef franchise. It'll be great. I'll work there 24 hours a day. I don't give a shit. It'll give me something to look forward to when I open my eyes in the morning.
Oh my God.
I want to be a franchisee,
yeah,
Gabe.
But you don't even want to open your own like unique sandwich shop. You just want to open
but
a
this,
franchise.
Here's the thing: you pay them $100,000. You get the support system of talking to the other managers that are only a few minutes away.
You get the cachet of the Miller name.
Yes, everyone knows the famous Miller right? roast beef millionaires, and. They sell you all the equipment and set you up and all that shit, and it just seems like a good investment opportunity, especially in this bull economy that we're going through.
If you want
right
a good
now.
Investment in the area, at least, buy a fucking Dunkin' Donuts because it'll never fucking go out of business.
They're going to say get a Roland keyboard that costs $4,000.
Well... No, yeah, that's not even true because I just... there's a Dunkin' Donuts that just closed in one town over.
What, in Brockton?
No, in Canton.
Oh, because they're rebuilding the one
they
in Brockton.
They do close. It's pretty rare, though.
Yeah. So it's not a like foolproof. Plus, all of them are owned by like big franchisee mini corporations, like the one you used to work for. And yeah, like, there's no company. Way you could ever compete. So, no. I thought you guys thought it would be funny if I wanted to be a franchisee.
No,
Define myself to the Miller's Code of Ethics.
I think that's really sad.
I think it's a good idea. You should do it.
Yeah. What's sad about it? It's the American dream to open up your own small business.
There's better sandwiches to live for.
You haven't even had it. What are you talking about?
He has a point.
Do you want to start talking about the movie?
No. Yeah. Not yet. I mean, we got to get something. It's not like an insanely deep movie.
I don't think it's an insanely deep movie, but I think it's like kind of like Donnie Darko, where you can talk longer about what the movie introduces than what you can in the actual movie itself.
True.
It kind of made me angry, so we can talk about that.
Why did it make you angry?
Oh my god, I hated it.
Really?
I didn't like it at all.
No?
The first 40 minutes is just techno babble.
Well, it's all real science, though, so you can wrap your head around it.
I understand that, and I understand...
The guy who wrote it is actually, like, an engineer.
And he's also the actor.
And so he's like, oh, I'm not gonna, like, dumb down any of this.
I don't know, if you're interested just in, like, the reality...
The concept of time travel...
Not just the concept of time travel, because I am interested in that. I'm just not interested in the fucking minutia and all the like small details. I don't care how accurate they are. It's still boring to listen to.
I'm interested. I'm more of a sci-fi kind of oriented guy. Like when you can kind of trace the reality of science in a fictional story.
But it's like if you're going to spend the first 40 minutes doing that, at least give us some character. Give us someone to latch on to. Make us care about what's happening.
I guess you're right. Yeah,
it definitely feels like a movie that was written by someone who is like...
I'm going to put out this grand idea.
Who's more interested in scientific theories than writing a movie, which it was his first.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything by this guy afterwards.
It's probably his last, too.
No, it isn't. I think he did a couple other things. But... Nothing that made a splash or anything.
So should we just get into it then?
Okay.
Let's get into it.
So basically it's the story of these two guys who are overworked engineers for tech firms. One of them has a family. They didn't really explain what the other guy had going on, which is, I admit, a little bare bones and lazy. Because they could have given him something.
They didn't really give either character any like...
Yeah, they didn't even like bother to say it though. At least when they showed the other guy's house, he's like, oh, yeah, he's got a kid and a wife.
Right.
It's there. Like, they show you it.
The other guy has, like, a girlfriend that he dates, and he's, like, trying to get her dad, who's, like, a fucking...
millionaire to invest in their company.
Right. That's
their startup.
That's his whole thing, basically.
It's kind of doing like a whole Pirates of Silicon Valley thing where they're like based out of the garage and clearly in like outside of San Francisco.
Right.
It kind of reminded me of Office Space, but I think it's just like honestly because of their office suit fucks, you know?
I guess, yeah.
I don't know why, but that's what I thought of.
They have a tech startup in which they... What was the thing that they actually had success selling, they mentioned briefly?
Some, like, intelligence, like, artificial intelligence software or something like that?
Something like that, or, like, banking software that utilized AI or something.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, they're software developers.
Primarily, yeah. But they're, like, you know... the Indian guy was a software developer, remember? The Indian guy they cut out of the plan.
Well, it's him and another guy. Like, there are two other partners that they're working with.
Disappear.
They just decide not to tell them about...
You don't want to. It's messy to mess with time travel.
Clearly, as we see
from this. Yeah, we learn in this film.
Uh, This was released in 2004 at Sundance, I guess.
Yeah. And yeah, it was the guy's freshman film. And it was done with, like, how much was it? Like $6,000? It was a really cheap movie.
It looks
pretty cheap, yeah. But in a, I think, charming way. Some of the cinematography was good. They did pretty good of light.
It looks like when you, like, watch, like, a bad college film, but you're like,
there's some merit to it.
It looks better than most other college films.
It's not filmed on a handy cam.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it is digital film.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
I thought it looked like mini DV at first, but I don't think it actually was. I think it might have been like an early high definition camera.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, it still has that, like,
it's decent. It's not mini DV though.
Yeah,
mini DV is pretty bad.
It would have looked a lot worse.
Yeah. Like that other fucking movie we tried watching after doing the mini sub. That was clearly mini DV, and you could tell it was just. Ugh. Let's not even talk about it.
Not say its name.
Actually, do you want to know the fucking funniest thing? It's like literally the day after we watched that snippet of it, I saw a post on Instagram. The guy's like, it just got picked up for distribution on Amazon.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Why don't we fucking make a movie?
Don't we anyway?
I mean,
it took him like 7 years to get that, though, for what it's worth.
If he wasn't on that podcast,
I don't think so either.
He wouldn't have got that.
I mean, I don't think that that's even.
You know what? That actually makes sense, though, for like Amazon, especially because it's like. There are some names that people know behind it, correct?
No, I mean, I guess. Okay, like, I'll just say what it is. Yeah, tangentially, yes. I'll just say it. It's not like a big secret or anything. Anthony Cumia, the ex guy who was on Opie and Anthony, he has his own podcast network now. He has a daily radio video podcast in which his co-host is an up-and-coming comedian who went to film school and made a movie, and it sucks. The King. Apparently, they retitled it for the distribution as The King of Detroit, but we didn't get very far in it, and because it's quite bad.
But I mean, the business model on Amazon's part, that makes sense because
it's already made.
Yeah, you don't have to like create like DVDs or
a certain
anything.
Amount
just,
of people will go. Yeah,
you just make it like you're able to stream it, and then they can make money off of that, and then nothing else has to go into it.
Yeah,
so.
Let's put it this way. You know the caliber of movies we watch on this show, and we could get past about 10 minutes, which felt like 20.
Yeah, it was really bad. I was expecting it to be charming and badly made, obviously, but like charming and well-written, but it was neither of those things.
No. As soon as his drug dealer friend or whatever got into the mix, we were just like, all right. This is tomatoes, potatoes.
That was the line that made us turn it off.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
Anyway, back to
Primer. Yeah. Did we mention the Primer is the title of the film?
Primer.
Did we? I don't think we should have. But
that's bad. Well, it'll be in the title. Anyway, so
why is it called Primer?
That's what I was wondering.
Because they had to prime the machine.
That's what I thought. But yeah. I wondered if it was deeper than that.
That was it. I think maybe it was like because the person who primes it is the one who goes through later.
I think you're digging too
deep. Well, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So anyway, so they basically they've been experimenting with like a bunch of like advanced like electronic engineering techniques in which they like flood a chamber with argon and apply an electrical current amongst other things, and they figure out. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I completely understand all the science.
It goes over your head unless you're
literally
field.
Yeah, literally. Definitely. And you know what it is? I'll admit I'm such a simpleton. I'm like, oh, look at all the fucking big words. It's really fucking. They really put some thought into this. This is fucking deep, yo. And I admit that is a shortcoming on my part because I am completely. I know a little bit about a lot of things, but science isn't one of them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of us are engineers or biochemists or anything like that.
No.
We're all pretty retarded. Don's pretty smart, but he's not a kind of scientist.
Not in science.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I'm not going to try to sit here and explain to you. You can watch the movie and it'll go right over your head like it did ours.
But I feel like it's like... maybe it's not trying to do that, because I feel like the filmmaker's also up his own ass. So it's
I think he's just an
artist trying to sound so intelligent.
I also think he's like such an artist that he's just like, I'm going to regurgitate all this information and they're going to be impressed with all my smarts.
But I feel like that's a method of making the science in the film like seem more deeper. More realistic, because it's like, I don't understand it. It's above my head. So, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. But in attempting, it does succeed in that, if that was its intention, though, for what it's worth.
It succeeded in boring me than anything.
This is probably like one of the most complex time travel movies as far as like different timelines and everything back together.
One of them, yeah.
I had to watch a video after watching the movie. I had to watch a 25-minute video to help explain all the different timelines and stuff.
I actually put a 10-minute video on for Julia afterwards, so she completely understood what had happened.
See, if you watched it four times, you're probably going to get more stuff out of it.
I hadn't watched that video before, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty much how I...
Yeah, this definitely feels like a movie that you would have to watch more than once to fully grasp everything, but I can't.
It's literally I've watched it. This is my fourth time. Actually, interestingly, and I mentioned to you guys in text, but the listener should know, is in our old band, which is still in existence, but somewhere on a hiatus, I guess, we have a song called Back in Time, and me watching this for the first time is what inspired me to go upstairs and write that song.
A song that is far better than this movie.
It's a matter of opinion. I don't like to sniff my own farts about my songs.
You don't
regardless.
Have to say it. I will. Thank you, good.
That's better.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, it put me in the good and in the kind of mood. You can kind of see that it's like a melancholy type of movie. It's also a melancholy type of song.
Sure, it could make you think. I guess
I think besides the like obviously really like over the top scientific jargon that they're using in the movie, the actors don't bother me that much. For at least
they're serviceable performances.
Yeah, for at least it being like an indie low budget movie.
No Oscars, that's for sure. But
oh no, I think one of the worst actors doesn't even say that many lines. It's the scientist they go to.
Oh yeah, that
after
guy.
They're like, oh, we like have fungus in the machine. Like, what the fuck is this? And like him, just his like facial expressions are like, wow, he's fucking
just,
bad.
Yeah. Just him standing there.
He must have been
somehow.
A real scientist.
It felt like it.
I think so.
Because that's one of the things is like, they're like, well, they don't really quite know what they have on their hands yet. And then they figure out.
Yeah, at the beginning. Okay, so basically, I'll give a couple little insights here, but this is during the very science heavy portion. But their initial box, they keep referring to their time machine as.
We should just refer to it as the box from here on out.
That's what they do as well.
Because it's like. If we just keep saying time machine, it's going to get fucking...
Whatever.
Yeah.
So basically, they have a small area that's like, you know, like it's about, you know, like 8x8x8. And they're able to put a camera in there to monitor it. And it's clearly like the camera they used to make the movie.
No budget.
And so they put like a Weeble in it. And so they... do several experiments with it, and then it comes out with a green film on it, and they take that to be analyzed, and it's congruent with like about 4 to 6 weeks of mold growth, but it was only in there for the short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, when they go back later with, I don't know, we'll say a fistful of mold, like about that size, he says this would take like 6 years to create or something like that.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous, and clearly... they weren't waiting 6 years for the mold to grow in the fucking thing.
So that's where they just start to discover that. I thought that the scene kind of was interesting because it like you kind of piece it together the same time they do.
That wasn't well. It also wasn't like a phone it in easy way to explain
it. Yeah,
that was a decently interesting way. They also did a gambit of tests where they throw in like a digital watch in there and a mechanical watch,
right,
to see that it passes time faster in the machine.
Yeah, I like this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically they stumble on the fact that it is, in fact, a time machine. But the interesting thing is that the way it works is that time travel begins from the time one primes the machine by turning it on and leaving it for a amount of time that is determined by a certain ratio or formula.
Right. It's like you can't go in the future. You have to have already experienced the time in order to do it again.
So you flick the machine on and you wait the amount of time you want to go back. Then you can get into the machine and you'll wake up at that earlier time. But at that point, there's a double of you created, i.e. the person you were that you already experienced that time. So you have to avoid them in order to prevent yourself from creating a time anomaly or something.
Just go chill in a hotel room for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They unplug the phone, unplug the TV, have no source of contact with the outside world in order to...
They wait till the end of the day. They look at what stock, the stocks that performed the best that day. And then they go back in time, avoiding their past selves. And it's that morning. And they buy stocks and then do the day as if they had, you know, not been doing what they did already. But here's the thing. They do this several times and almost immediately both of them have subterfuge going on. The initial guy who performed the experiment with a blonde guy, I don't remember their fucking names.
It was Aaron and Abe.
Gay Abe. Yeah, I know. Gay Abe is the blonde guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But Abe is the guy who initially conducted the experiment and he proves to Aaron that he had succeeded in it by parking outside of like the storage facility where he built it,
showing him
his double with a pair of binoculars. And so then the next day they attempt the experiment, but little does either of the one of them know is that before they did any of the experiments, Abe turned on one machine, a secret machine that he put into another storage facility.
His fail-safe machine.
And in case something went wrong, he could himself go back and jump into the machine and...
Go back before they ever did it and stop them from doing it.
But that second day that they did it, Aaron had created... I don't even know how he fucking got back, though. This is the thing that I don't understand.
What's that?
Oh, did he jump into the fail-safe machine?
He figured out that there was a fail-safe machine.
Right.
And he used it because there's the whole thing about that, the party and then
right,
the
there's two things.
Ex-boyfriend showing up.
Yeah, so they go to a party.
I didn't understand why they were trying to, like, recreate that moment or whatever the fuck they were trying to do with that.
They wanted to prevent it from happening, and they did.
Didn't they want it to happen?
No, what they wanted to do is make sure that nothing bad happened by taking the bullets out of the gun.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. And also, one of the other things they did was punch that guy in the face. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Did they even show that?
Yeah, they did.
I remember, like, it seems like everything that happens in the movie was talked about and then didn't actually happen.
It does seem like that because it's all out of sequence.
I don't think they ever show Platt in the movie, the guy they wanted to punch in the face.
Yeah, no, but they do set it up so that they can, and then they're on their way back and they're like, yeah, that was, you know.
Well, they set it up because they can, because he ends up talking. He talks in a roundabout way to his, like, wife about time travel.
Mm-hmm.
But like without telling her that, oh, by the way, we can time travel. Like,
What would you do?
He's like, and I would punch Platt in the face because I guess he stole some kind of idea of from them
and made
a bunch of money off it.
But the reason that that's even important is because they needed to set up another time in which they were going to do time travel. And then they discover that mysterious old man, the girlfriend's dad, has apparently at some point in the timeline went back, and it seemed like it had been like he'd been doing it for multiple days because he had multiple days of beard growth.
How he could see that?
The way they word that too. It's not like he's like, oh shit, he's got like a fucking beard growing, or he's got like 5 o'clock shadow. They're like, he's got several days worth of beard growth.
Yeah, that was written like a fucking spurg. Yeah, I'll give you that.
There's a couple of those kind of things in the movie.
You could tell it was written by Boop Boop Human.
Well, there's
not a human. More like, robot than human.
Yeah. There's interesting little tidbits and like ways they talk or like lines in the movie, but then there's stuff like that. There's also, well, we would need somewhere to lock it up with controlled climate control, and then they like look over at the U-Haul place and it's like climate control, self-storage.
Yeah, that was like perfect.
Come on. But then there's the other times when they're like at the gas pump, they're talking more about time travel as far as like what's worse than thinking you're paranoid or knowing you should be and all that, where they're talking more about like the semantics of time travel. That's like interesting, but they have probably more of the like really dumb lines like that. But I mean, that's what you're going to get when you have...
It's a freshman film.
Exactly.
It explored some cool shit, though.
It had some interesting ideas. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
That's That's why I was saying I feel very similarly to how I feel about Donnie Darko, where I'd like much rather have the conversation after the movie than actually watch the movie.
I understand your position on that. And yeah, you know what it is? It's Donnie Darko's style was not to my liking. And apparently I didn't foresee this, to be honest, but Primer was not style, was not to your liking.
Style, lack of character development.
Yeah, there isn't that much, to be fair. Yeah.
It like almost wasn't a movie to me. I don't know. It's hard to explain that, but it's like
it's pretty rough around the edges.
It's also only it's short. It's easy to throw on.
It's not short enough that I can.
It's like almost, an hour and 17 minutes.
That's close enough to full length, especially when you're going to spend the first 40 minutes almost doing nothing and then things start happening at like the 40-45 minute mark.
True.
Like that's just too.
It spirals very quickly out of control, though.
That's why it feels uneven to me.
Maybe, yeah.
I could see that. Could just be me, though.
Oh, so basically, we'll sum up the ending. They do go back in time. I will leave most of this in the, off the table here, because it's kind of more the, like, I know, I guess Don wouldn't agree with this, but it's more of the kind of movie you should experience rather than be told, because it kind of sucks all the character out of it if I just explained every plot turn. And if you want that, they have a fucking million YouTube videos that explain the timelines.
They had a really good one I watched that was like this British lady, and then they animated it, and it's like 25 minutes long, and they actually explain it pretty goddamn well.
Yeah.
As far as like the timelines and like what time, obviously rounded off. But
which version of each person it was.
Right. And explains what doubles are going back and which ones are coming out. And who's getting hidden away in attics and so on.
Yeah,
and so
let's leave that. I guess that's like some of the stuff where it starts to get like whoa, which timeline is this? What is going on?
Well, I think the most interesting thing going on in this movie is it's like the whole like, is destiny predetermined? Is basically
well, clearly
like,
not
the big thing in
based
this.
On this movie.
Duh.
I mean, I actually will give this movie less credit than you're giving it.
What, really?
Yeah, because it's just I don't see much symbolism in this film that much, honestly. It's more of a just like, check out this shit, dude. You know, like I'd love to have that defense to defend this movie, but I didn't see it. I don't know, Danny. You didn't see it either. I'm guessing.
No.
Yeah, it really is just check this shit out, dude.
It's just a what if.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's my kind of shit. And again, it's obviously a matter of taste.
So how did you take... So we saw that apparently from time traveling, there's obviously negatives
to
it.
You start to bleed out your ears and like they lose their handwriting ability.
Aaron bleeds out of his ears.
Yeah, because he did it way more than any of the other... than the other dude.
Not that he knew that.
Yeah, he didn't know it. That was the funny part.
Abe has a point where he faints. That's apparently a thing. But they both, neither of them can write. Now,
it's every time they go through it, their handwriting gets worse.
Okay. Yeah, their penmanship sucks. But yeah. I guess a fan theory that somebody came up with
makes you a little bit of a delay.
Is, you know, when they put their hand over the machine when it was like uncovered?
Right. Yeah.
It's because
their hand went through just even briefly, so a second.
So that their hand and their mind isn't synced up.
Yeah.
That's a fan theory.
But that's the fan. You know, you can make up fucking like awesome theories for trash fucking movies.
That's true. So basically this whole movie takes place in like the timeline of like 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But obviously they're going back and forth too.
So they actually mentioned at one point like I can't get used to these 36 hour days because they spend 12 hours in the box in the night at night and go back and redo the day.
The confusing part to me was that they can just be in like self-storage container, and it's like they're not in anything necessarily, but they're like in the room. But that's
not
the
time
machine.
No, they show them climbing
machine.
In and out of the machine.
A lot of times towards the end, I feel like they didn't.
They didn't, but I assume that was because they were only showing it from the time that they appeared.
Are they crawling in the machine?
They only show it once where they go actually climb into the machine. And it's near the
beginning.
I
thought they were just in the room with the machine going.
It isn't very clear, to be honest. Yeah. And that I guess that would be considered a failing. It wasn't very, like...
You don't need to show everything. That was something I would forgive for not explicitly, like, showing the viewer.
I thought at one point that showed him opening up that little storage, that, like, plastic storage, and climbing into it. But there's, but then as you remember, there's that scene where he just kind of like blinks into existence, and like he's right next to it. So I figured it spat him out, you know.
There's definitely questions left here. And you've watched it four times.
Yeah, I still am just now this fourth time being like, okay, I think I know all the shit that, because like I kept mentioning to Julia, this is like at the beginning, very early on in the time where they're already starting to loop, is they show fucking Aaron wearing a headphone. I'm like, remember he's wearing that headphone. And he's, at the time they say like, oh, what are you listening to, March Madness or whatever?
Yeah.
And yeah, so it apparently that's indicating that Aaron has sent him back, self back, trying to appear as though he's being the same, in the same, like, you know.
I guess he records the conversations and that's what he's listening to in his ear. There's another thing with the time machine too, where they like, they strap it up and they're like, there's leaks. There's always leaks. What's leaking? The gas?
The argon glass. Yeah, that's why they need to wear the fucking masks.
Then what did the strapping do? Did it just tighten things up?
It tightened it, yeah, but not perfectly.
I guess.
That's a pretty forgivable.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have batted an eyelash at that. I like the look of this movie, I gotta say. It's like all the characters are really fucking, like they're all
white.
No, I mean like they're all like interchangeable fucking like tech bros. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, well, I just like the fact that they were like so, like just random A names that, you know, like, but I like the look of this. I think their use of color and light a lot. That was pretty decent, don't you think?
Like there was some cool,
like in the box it was all blue. I like that. It looked cool. And then there was a lot of good golden hour footage from when they were like switching positions.
There's one like exterior shot of a building where it's all green. I thought that looked really cool.
Yeah, that was good.
That stood out to me, but I couldn't get past the mini DV look.
Yeah, I wasn't. I mean, it ain't perfect.
This whole movie, there's really only like two and like a half characters that really actually matter for the whole movie.
Literally, there's a whole fucking family that have no line, barely any lines.
Right. Yeah, it's just like, oh, he has a family.
He has a BT Dubs. He has a family.
Yeah, but like for instance, even those the two other guys that are working on everything, it's like they're like, oh, they have partners. They didn't tell them. Fuck them. They don't matter. And even at the end, when Aaron's like, it's all said and done, and he realized that he fucked up a bunch of shit, he's still like, oh, let's like build another time machine.
He didn't fuck anything up. They ended up saving everything at the end, pretty much.
He's one of the doubles, but he just wants to leave.
Because he leaves his fucking kid and wife, I just realized.
Well, the double that's, I mean, spoiler alert.
No, we'll just go for it.
The double that's upstairs, he just like lets him get out.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's the one that takes care of their
family. Yeah, I was going to say, that makes sense. Then he's the one double that
survived. I think
survived.
At the end of the movie, I'm pretty sure there's three Aarons.
No, there's two, I'm pretty sure.
There's two?
There's only two because, he looped the other one out of existence by going back. So, yeah, there's the one he kidnapped and put in this. This was stupid that he would never break out or like. But, yeah.
And they allude to it, too, and they're like, yeah, there's rats in the attic. And they're like, no, it's baby birds. You want to see a bunch of dead baby birds? I don't think so, babe.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But yeah, so anyway, so one has the formula to make it, and so he like goes to France and like tries to do it again. And that's the end of the film.
I thought it was Russia. It doesn't matter.
I think it was France.
It doesn't matter.
You want to get numbers on it, Gabe?
I'm honestly hard pressed. I don't really know what I want to rate it. I don't think it's terrible, but it's also not going to be for everyone. That's for goddamn
sure.
Yeah,
it's for like fags like me.
So if you're a faggot like Scott,
but not like me.
Yeah.
Different faggot.
Different kind of faggot. Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't want to give it too low, but I also don't want to give it too high. I don't think it deserves a 5.
I'm not giving it a stellar review either.
I don't think it deserves a 5.
I think it's low or too high.
That's too high.
That's what I think too.
I'm probably gonna play it safe.
You wouldn't recommend this to anybody, Gabe?
No, not saying that, but I'm saying
that would be a 5.
I'm saying that this isn't gonna be a movie for a lot of people. Like given the choice, I probably wouldn't watch it again. But it is an interesting movie. I'm probably gonna give it like a 4.5 because I think that's fair.
You're just butthurt we didn't like your shitty ass pick 2 weeks ago.
Because you didn't like Pieces. I could care less if you guys like it. I had
I had butthurt.
I had a really good time watching it, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hate this movie, but I wouldn't recommend it to everybody.
Yeah. I'd give it a 6, in my opinion.
Only a 6?
Yeah. I don't love this movie.
I thought you did.
No. I just like this movie. In fact, I was making a lot of the same criticisms that you were while we were watching it, with how stupid the thing in the attic, and you know what I mean? There's some goofy plot holes, but I mean, look, it's a student film. It's a freshman effort. Like I said, I like the way this movie's shot. I like the science concepts. So few movies do that for me or for any audience. Yeah, like the character, like I said, same thing. Characters, bare bones, nothing there. And, you know, it's so much harder to get involved in a movie where you don't give a fuck about anybody in it.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. I feel like it made up for it in the ingenuity of it. But again, that's my gay ass thinking that. But yeah, 6. I'll give it a 6.
All right.
No offensive performances besides that guy in the lab.
They felt pretty college drama class to me.
Yeah, well, what
but
you
I mean, they
do?
Could be worse.
They could have been a lot
we've
worse.
Definitely seen worse.
Yeah, come on, The Shattering.
Oh yeah,
we saw worse in Halloween with the fucking the daughter.
Yeah.
It's way less convincing.
Yeah. All right. So if I were to give this a number, I want to give it a 3, but I gave Halloween like a base level 3, and then I added the 0.25 for the kid dying. But I can't. This is better than that Halloween 2018. So I'd probably give it like a 4. I just didn't care for it, and it is, you know, obviously film is subjective. It just wasn't working for me. A lot of it, again, was the lack of character development, the fact that the characters' motivations up to a certain point, it was just like they were purely motivated by their own hubris. And it's like, I feel like the filmmaker had the same motivation
going for the making the film.
Yeah, he wanted to show how intelligent he was and how, like, in all his fucking scientific theories, he could fucking slap his science dick around and on screen. And I didn't like that. So
I get that.
So yeah. This movie made me very angry, to be honest. It's probably one of the more visceral reactions I've had to a film in a while. Yeah, it just really annoyed me, the fact that I couldn't get into it.
You did have a reaction.
True, which is more than I can say for some films. You got that right. But
Now let me take up my literary big dick here, and I almost want to compare the lead role, and also by proxy, because it is the same guy, the writer-director, to an Ayn Rand character, whereas he smells his own fart, speaking of which.
I just farted, yeah.
No, but like he smells his own farts. His whole thing is hubris and the idea that your vision is what is like key tantamount in this world, in this existence. And maybe that's why it resonates with me a little bit, because like I kind of am that kind of douchebag who and that's why it makes me identify with Ayn Rand characters for what it's worth. But yeah, I know. I just kind of that kind of attitude and like, you know, like self-aggrandizement kind of resonates with me on a certain level.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, it just didn't connect with me for whatever reason. Yeah. But there were definitely, I will say one good thing is there were definitely some interesting ideas. I maybe didn't like the way in which they were explored at sometimes, and I thought that they could have handled them better, but it was definitely some thought-provoking, you know, moments in the film.
There were times where you were like, oh, I'm piecing this together, and I'm in my head watching this.
It doesn't hold your hand at all, which is
refreshing.
Hollywood films these days are so guilty of just hitting you over the head with everything.
Here's the guy, and he's the dad. He's the dad. And so later, when he's disappointed in him, it's like reverse of what you were expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely don't get this, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because it was a little... I would have to watch this a couple more times.
Right,
to feel
and it
like
wasn't
I
enjoyable
fully...
enough for you to want to.
Yeah, so I'm not
I will
going
say
to.
That like at the same time that I watch this repeatedly, I enjoy it more for the reasons that it intends you for to rewatch it, and I dislike it more for reasons that they didn't intend. Like, I start to know, or not just notice, but like I start to get actually get graded by the fucking like plot holes,
right?
Or like the like weird choices of acting and dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems it's a little bit more grading because I'm not just like wrapped up in the spell of how neat the novel the concept is,
right?
That's Don hit the nail on the head. The whole concept of the movie and how like into it and complex they actually get with the time travel. That's the strengths of this movie.
Absolutely, yeah. Which is completely what sells it.
It's not the character development or the acting.
No, none of us are trying to say this is a well developed
serviceable
character. Serviceable is literally the word you're going for here because it's not like it's like oh god, look at this fucking idiot the whole time. But it's also not. You're never like. At any point, like, wow. Like, when I watched Signs with Mel Gibson, I was like, wow, Mel Gibson cries three times in this movie. Who'd have thought he would have put that kind of effort towards this? I did not say that once during this movie.
Yeah. I feel like if they could have made you care about the family.
Which would have been easy, by the way. Not easy, but it would have been not too difficult.
Yeah, I feel like this would have elevated the
film. I think the guy who wrote it is like a fucking Spurg of the highest order, like, and has no idea about interpersonal relationships and just like... to appreciate my science.
100%.
You know what I mean? But, like, listen, like I said, faggots like me, we go for that kind of shit. I like when in Star Trek, when they, like, explain the science behind, like, why...
I was going to say, the techno-babble...
It's Star Trek. Yeah,
I could see that.
And I'm a big fan of TNG, which is also, as I like to refer to it, Law and Order in space. That concludes our review of Primer. It's obviously, I think it, would you call it a polarizing film?
Probably, yeah. Because
a lot of people like it more than me.
Yeah. Roger Ebert gave it 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Really?
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
I was surprised.
Raj.
Yeah.
Maybe the devil took his jaw in exchange for that one. Yeah, you know what also is pretty funny? Do you remember that line in that episode? I bring up fucking... I was thinking making a drinking game for this show would be so easy. Every time I bring up an episode of Rugrats...
We just like to put out a disclaimer. We're not responsible for any alcoholism or alcohol-related death.
Yes, or drunk driving. But like every time I bring up Rugrats or do an impression or we bring up like Annihilation... Or
so you'll be drunk within the first 5 minutes.
Well, that's
of every
what a drinking
episode.
Game. Come on, Gabe, back me up here with a drinking game. When you were like, when
I never play drinking games because I usually just drink throughout. So it's like I don't stay around enough to pay
attention.
There's
a real problem.
Yeah.
No, it's just like I like to do as I go. I'm not gonna.
No, but like for instance, let me just give you an example though. The Clerks drinking game is like every time someone buys a pack of cigarettes or a cup of coffee, you take a sip.
That's probably
the whole movie.
Probably less frequently than you bring up Rugrats.
My Rocky. But yeah, like or the Clerks one, it's like every time someone.
Whenever he says he shouldn't, he's not supposed to be here.
Yes, that was one, obviously. Yeah. Or like every time someone says Caitlin Bree.
There's another thing too in this movie now that I just remembered because you said that.
What?
It's 2004, so obviously this is before like the social justice craze.
Mm-hmm.
There's a point when he's on the cell phone with his wife and he says, no, I've got to eat with these off-site fags, so I'm not going to be around for dinner later. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
It's actually a key plot point because he answers the cell phone while he's in the hotel and he's not supposed to have any contact.
Right. Yeah. But it just like didn't sound out of place to me because I still say fags all the time.
Well, now whenever we watch older movies, it always like brightens my eyes.
Don't let
up.
Them change you like that, Gabe.
No,
fags should be in your vocabulary.
Oh, no, it is. It just gives me a little twinkle in my eyes that hasn't
gives
been there
a special
in years.
Feeling.
On the tip of my penis.
Yep. Well, where else?
I'm really glad we don't have to watch horror movies anymore.
I'm really glad.
Yeah, I got burnt out.
I hate them now.
I'm really glad we can listen to this, though.
I think it's baseball.
Oh, Jesus.
Really?
Even worse.
Why would he be watching? The Red Sox already won the fucking World Series. Why would he be watching?
Or some kind of sport. It sounded like sports, though, didn't it?
I don't know. Sounds
like probably Bonanza. That's what old dudes watch.
He'd be way cooler if he watched Bonanza, but it's never anything as cool as that.
My dad watches Bonanza.
Dude, your dad's like the man compared to this fucking fat piece of shit.
Bonanza.
And that's saying something.
And like Gunsmoke. That's what old dudes watch.
Hell not yeah. This old dude. Anyway, yeah. So we're gonna have to look at the real blight on our society, which is old people.
Seriously.
They must be eradicated.
Why don't you just die like old people are supposed to.
Yeah, so check us out on Facebook. Give us a like at facebook.com/cinemapocalypsenow. Follow me on Instagram. It's at Scott Lizard Abrams. I've been posting some mad funny shit. And also, I got some sweet food, cat, and rabbit pics for you to digest. And
he's available for Q&As anytime.
Yeah.
AMA. Just
HMU.
GAY.
Yeah, I guess buy our music at nothingbuthitmusic.bandcamp.com.
Buy us water.
Buy us water. Donate to our anchor.fm account. And also don't forget, every penny you give us past the water, it will be either on lottery or going towards the Miller's Roast Beef Fund. And Gabe, anything you want to plug?
No.
Side your butt.
Did you say the email?
Oh, yeah. Email if you have any questions, queries, last words.
Movies you want us to review.
Last words before you do what we're about to ask you to do.
Imagine if that was someone's last moment, was they were typing us an email.
Hell yeah, dude. That would be my life. That's my live stream. So please, if you are thinking about killing yourself, make sure you drop us a line. Seriously. And we will read it on the show. We can be, yeah, because normally when you write like a real dark suicide note, your family's not going to get public. Yeah. They're fucking squeamish, but we will.
We'll publish it on the web.
I'll get out there. I'll get on your fucking Facebook wall. I'll say your grandma, your aunt, your uncle.
We'll do a dramatic reading. We'll have Marshall read it. We'll put some sound effects behind it. Hell some yeah. Music from the Wolfman, maybe. It'll work.
That'd be great. So yeah, send us an email and then kill yourself. Why? Because it's not worth living anymore. Maybe he was a faggot. I don't know. It's fucking true. It's on Wikipedia.
If there's any music festival that deserves... No.
Yeah, Gabe, come on. Are you ready to say that?
Cut that out.
Gabe condones the murder of country music fans.
Yeah.
Well, modern country music.
Jesus.
That's the only thing that stopped him. He's like, well...
Well, some country.
Some like the classics.
What was the other thing I wanted to talk about? Good point.
The best part is that our mini-sode, we had like too much content, and then we get to the full episode, and they're like,
Funfetti.
I like cake.
I do too.
Cake's pretty good.
You just can't have it all the time.
Well, what fucking fat ass is having cake all the time?
We're both pointing for to the listeners. Our my right and his left.
Yes. We know someone like that.
Not really, though.
He could sell his urine.
They do this several times, and almost immediately... Jesus Christ, dude. Fucking die already.
Yo, I got this tattoo. It's a Celtics guy, and he's smoking a J.
I knew this was going to be a winner.